you have a copy of the bulletin with you? No? Some of you should have one because we made enough for at least one per family. All right. If you do not have, you can always get a free copy on our website. It's all there. We can get. But we printed again. Last week we did this for the baptism. This week we printed again. We put Adventist Biblical Faith. Why we put Adventist Biblical Faith? Because sometimes churches have a tendency to kidnap or grab some concept and make their own and claim that there belongs to them. We don't want as a church to fall into the same group that we say, oh, I do this because I am Seventh-day Adventist. I like when people ask me, why don't you eat pork? First, because it's disgusting. But I just say to them, because it is written. I like to imitate Christ the best way I can, and when the Holy Spirit can help us to do so. So when people ask me, why don't you eat pork? I said, because it is written. And then if they have to challenge the authority, the one who wrote, then it's not my issue anymore. So sometimes we make such a big thing about the way we believe that we try to impose on others, and we claim that it's our belief. How many times you have been approached in the past when somebody identify you as somebody or keep your Sabbath? Every time when somebody tells me, oh, that's your Sabbath, I says, not really. The name that you see there is Abba. I'm not Abba. And the one in Rome is not Abba either. The one up there is Abba. And so it's his. And so don't ever say, oh, that's our Sabbath. Some of us even have the habit to call the Sabbath Saturday. Big mistake. That's not the way we're supposed to be called God's Sabbath. But if somebody tells you, what day, don't come on the Sabbath. They look at me and they try to say, what do you mean? And I said, the day you call Saturday. So those things, we practice our faith not because Seventh-day Adventism is going to take us to heaven. What is written is the way to heaven. We needed to rely on the Word and the Word alone. This is my faith. This is why I'm here, stand before you. I'm not here because of organization. All this is God's plan. God has his church. The Bible says about the remnant. Please don't take me wrong. We need to be organized. Organization is a godly thing. But don't be so tied up to belong to a group and end up not acting like you belong to that group. Okay? So this is just an introduction to our message today. I saw that being wise is certainly better than being a fool. Now, it takes a wise person to say something like that, because the fool will not know the difference. And so the wise person said, oh, it's better to be wise than be a fool. You know, it's better to have light than to be darkness. You'll be amazed today, in this day and age, how many people are having more, they have a greater preference to do with the works of darkness. I don't know if you notice there are quite a few young people. The light goes down, the sun goes down, and they go out. Like they don't have no parents, they don't have anything else. And this is what our society is becoming. So the message today we named the wise and the foolish. Wise and fools. Now, you notice that even the color, I put it different. Remember the verse that we read before? Light is wise, darkness is foolishness. So that's the intent. So I want you to know that every single thing that I do have some purpose when I put there. I don't know if you have noticed, every single time we put a Bible verse there, we capitalize the name of God. and everything refers to God, because I want you to focus on who He is, and everything is about Him and how we praise and worship Him. Now, then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps. Now, all of you here, I don't know how many of you here were here on the beginning of the month when we talked about the talents. That's Matthew 25. This is also in Matthew 25. Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus is talking about His returning to this earth. And so every parable there is to help us to be prepared for that event. And this is one of them. So there are 10 virgins. Now, a woman in the Bible is a symbol, like we studied in the Sabbath school lesson, is a symbol of God's church, but also a symbol of a corrupted church. It is a church who has light and a church who wants to be in darkness. So the same contrast, wise and also foolish. And by the way, I'm not calling any denomination of foolishness. I'll let the Bible do that. I'm not going to do it myself. But the Bible does say those that refuse to obey God is just foolishness. And so the 10 virgins took their lamps and went out to meet the whom? Who is the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. So that's Matthew 25, verse 1. If you want to follow along, it will be in the screen, but you can see in your Bible as well. Okay? Now, there's two groups. Actually, Jesus is using 10, but actually it's only 2. He's talking about two groups, but represent the one who makes the right choice and the one who makes the bad choice. Now, virgins are, in this case here, churches. You haven't noticed, if you haven't noticed yet when you read this, but I want you to notice that they all have the Bible. That's the lamp. Now, 5 of them were wise, and we were asked why, and 5 were foolish. So the parable qualifies what it means to be wise, what it means to be foolish. And that's the purpose of the whole parable, is to define for us who is being wise or who is being foolish. Now, I have seen, even here at 10 our church, sometimes people that do not belong to the same church, same denomination that we do. Sometimes what we say here from the front, it may be offensive to somebody who does not believe exactly the way we believe. But I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be in your heart and the Holy Spirit will be in your heart to know that we have the intent only to show you how to find the light, because we want all of you to be wise. Your word is a lamp. So the lamp is this one here. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, the secret to be wise is here. You dig this treasure and then you become wise. If you buy a nice one, $200 Bible, and live there in your desk and never opened, you'll be classified as a fool, because isn't a fool a person who is hungry and has the food right before them and they choose not to eat? Is that foolishness? So that's what the Bible says. That is foolishness, when you have the food, but you don't take time to eat. Brothers and sisters, don't be satisfied only to the message on the Sabbath. Some people are Christians only for a few minutes or few hours, and then after they leave church, they go back to, you need to continue eating. The more you eat, the wiser you'll become. And please don't don't eat junk food, because that doesn't want to make you wise either. So that's why you have to eat the word. Now, that was Psalm 119, verse 105. And I'm saying this for those, we have quite a good group with us online, and we like to welcome them to our service as well. And so they are here faithfully every week Even though they cannot be present, they are via teleconference. Now, those who were foolish, they took their lamps. So they had the Bible. But they took what? Go ahead. They took what? They took no oil. What is the oil in the Bible? What is the oil in the symbol in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Now, I have seen many people that have even doctorate degree in theology, that have written books about the Bible, and when you read, you wonder, how in the world did anybody give this individual a doctorate degree? Because all that they say, all that they write is foolishness. They take the Bible and twist it completely opposite what the Bible tried to teach. In other words, just because you have a Bible in your hand doesn't give you salvation. Some people think that if I belong to the right church and if I have the right version of the Bible, I haven't made it. Brothers and sisters, it's not what you do, it's what you are. Believing is important, but becoming is more important. If your beliefs doesn't change you, you believe in nothing, and you're becoming nothing. Your beliefs need to change you, and that's what happens. We need to take the oil. And they were foolish because they chose not to take the oil. In other words, they walk around with the Bible, but they don't read it. So the oil is not there. And the Bible does say, be careful what is spirit, because there are oils, different type of oils. How many of you here cook? Quite a few of you, and some men are raised their hand too. All right, I cook once in a while. I think I'm the only one who can eat what I cook, but I cook once in a while. There are different types of oil, right? There are oil that are good for your health. There are oil that you should stay away from it. And sometimes they even add all the things to the oil. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. There is something that looks like the Holy Spirit, but it's not. And the Bible tells us for us to discern about the spirits. Be careful, because if anyone says, I have the Holy Spirit, and yet walks complete opposite what Jesus Christ did, that is not the Spirit of God. That's a different kind of spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We already read this one. So it's very important for us to understand that the light is to guide us where to go. And where do we go? We go to the light, which is also Christ. The law of the Lord is a lamp, and its teaching shine brightly. Correction and self-control will lead you through life. Isn't that a wonderful verse? It says, the law of the Lord is a lamp. What happens to a lamp if you decide to put something on top of it? It loses its power. The same thing the Bible says, that Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the lamp. The Bible is the lamp. But if you read the Bible, it doesn't share with anybody. It's just like I have a light and don't share with anybody. So we need to share our light. Now, the light without oil, there is no light. So the both are essential. We need both. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. By the way, I don't know, is there anybody here who ever used an oil lamp before? I have. I live a time with my grandmother. And she used kerosene. And you know what the problem with the kerosene? It smoked, you know, if you put a kerosene lamp here, this is going to be complete black. And that poor lady, she will take some paint and paint the whole house. And then here comes the lamp and make everything dark again. She will do this over a few times during the year, to try to keep her house and walls clean. She would do this. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. That's why they were wise, because they made preparation. They didn't want to just to be there, but they want to make sure that they nothing will stop them from seeing the Lord. Here it says, Matthew 25, because the bridegroom was late. Is Jesus Christ is going to be late? I don't even like that expression, because he was late. God has his time, and on his time, he will come. What makes us think that he was late is because we try to adapt our time and try to put God into our schedule. And instead, is we are in his schedule. I know for sure at this moment, in many churches, all the denominations, unfortunately, don't believe there is such a thing as I just turned on my mic, okay? This one. All right? Yes, it's okay. And so many people from all the denominations, they don't realize that when they talk about the return of Christ, they think that a Christ is going to come, and then when he comes, he's going to decide who is going to go with him, who is not. Now, all that is being done right now. When Jesus Christ comes, he says he's coming, and he's bringing with him the reward. So he already knows who is going to take with him. There will be no judgment in that sense to decide who is going, who is not. That has been decided already. When Jesus Christ comes, he is going to come to take his kids home. And I hope all of you will be part of that group, that blessed group. It said, they became sleepy and it went to sleep. Who are they here? The one who was sleeping is only the foolish, or the wise fell asleep as well? According to Jesus Christ, all of them fell asleep. But you know what? When you sleep with God in your heart, it's just a sleep. You have the certainty you're going to wake up. I mentioned this to you before. I'm going to repeat. I have a Bible study here in the afternoon every Sabbath for the young people and older people, the ones who want to be prepared for baptism. And one young girl came, and I'm repeating this story, okay? One young girl came, and because somebody in the family died, she was kind of shocked. She was having nightmare and everything else. So she talked to her father, and her father told her, go to church and ask the pastor. And so she came, and she asked me, and there were quite a few young people there. And very bravely she asked, Pastor, what happened at death? I'm so afraid of death. So I told her clearly, says, you know what the Bible says about death? It says it's a sleep. Did you go to bed last night? Yes. Did you sleep? Yes. What about a day before? And you have been doing this for 9 years. Do you know how many nights you already slept? And every time you woke up. I said, why are you not afraid to go to bed and close your eyes and basically disconnect with the world? And this young girl, in her, childish wisdom, she said, because I know I'm going to wake up. That's what she said. I know the sun is going to come up and I'll be there. I'll wake up. I says, you see, you are not afraid because you know that you wake up. Brothers and sisters, if we have the light in us, we aren't going to be afraid of darkness. If we have a God in our lives, we know that we'll wake up. So when you talk to your children about death, explain to them, just like the Bible does, it's just a sleep. Just like you go to bed every day, every night, and you fall asleep and then you wake up. And when you wake up, your parents, those that you love, will be there. Your bed, your toys, everything will be there. The same thing when Jesus Christ comes. So they all fell asleep. But the difference is that five of them, they were prepared to sleep. But the other five, they were negligent and they were not prepared. So what happens afterwards? We all know they all sleep and they all woke up. Everybody go to bed, but everybody wake up. Then came midnight. Do you know why though Jesus Christ used the terminology midnight? Today, midnight, many people are awake. Sadly, not supposed to be because it's not healthy. But in those days, midnight, they were already sleeping for 6 hours already. Those days, they didn't have an internet or anything that will keep them destroying their lives. They went to bed, and 3 o'clock in the morning, they were already up going to work. I went to the Amazon as a missionary, and one of the people there was criticizing. We brought quite a few young people from the United States to go there. We were building a sanctuary, a church. Not a church, but a temple. And we had some clinics. We did quite a few work there. And this is in the heart of the Amazon jungle. And so these young people here from the United States decide to say, oh, look at these people. That's why they are poor. Look at them. They are sitting down. They are not working. You know how sometimes young people can be very cruel with their remarks without knowing the facts. And that's what the difference when there is wisdom and there is foolishness. And so, but that individual didn't realize, because I came from the United States, I always speak to them in English, they didn't realize that I was from there. So as I heard this young person and the other ones were talking, and then I approached them and I said, do you know why they are sitting down right now? Because you were sleeping when they were working. They all got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They went to work. They have done all their, everything that they have done. And do you know why they went so up so early in the morning to work? Because when the sun comes, it's impossible to work in that heat and that humidity. And so they work very early in the morning. They do everything that they need to do. And sometimes they travel miles before they get where they have to work. And that's when they finish. After they finish, then they rest. And all that they're doing now, they are resting because they have done their work. And so midnight cry, they're all sleeping. And somebody woke them and says, wake up. The bridegroom is coming. A call to wake up. I'm talking about this to you today because I want this message to be a call to wake up. Brothers and sisters, everything around us keeps telling us it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. The cry went out. It was seconds before midnight. It says, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, Christ is coming. Behold, he is near. Go out to meet him. Let this word stay, this word stay in your mind, brothers and sisters, as you leave this place. The bridegroom is coming. It's time to wake up. So what they did is, okay. Let's see what I did. Did I believe? Let's see if everything is right. The wise had oil. All that they had to do is to add oil. The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be taken out. Not from the believers. That taken out is those that do not have oil, they won't be able to buy more oil. There will be no Holy Spirit at this time that will convince anybody because the door of grace has been closed. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps and says, oh, okay, I need some more oil. By the way, why don't you give me some of yours? And the fool said to the wise, give us some of your oil. It doesn't matter how much I read this Bible here. I can be a pastor who, before you, that have memorized the whole Bible. That won't do any good to anybody else. No matter how good a person I am, I cannot save my children. I cannot save you. I cannot save myself. Even myself, I need God's grace. So please understand that what you have is yours. You cannot give, because that's a personal relationship with God. We had a young people here that were just baptized. And we have the parents here. I want to know that I told your daughter, and I told all of them the same thing. I says, there is one thing that your parents have no control of, is how you respond to God. Your relationship with God is personal. They can teach you, they can guide you, they can advise you, but your choice has to be yours. Your faith had to be yours. They were baptized. Their journey is there to take. Nobody can take you away from this path, and nobody can force you to stay in this path. This has to be your personal relationship with God. Your growth depends on you and you alone. It's your choice. How you practice your faith, nobody can determine that but yourself. Give us some of your oil. I'm sorry, I can't. For our lamps are going out. Why are they going out? Because they did not prepare. Some people say, oh, but the Bible says the Lord was going to send up the Holy Spirit in the last days. And when the Bible is taken away from us, He's going to help us to remember what we studied. I have seen so many young people saying, oh, pray for me because I have finals. I cannot pray for you if you did not study. God cannot help you if you don't put the word in here. The Holy Spirit is going to help you to remember. Remember what? If your head is empty, not even God can put something there that's not there. You have to put the word in your heart, and the Lord will make sure that you will remember. But it needs to be there, brothers and sisters. So they ask, give me some of your oil. But the wise answer in a wise way. No. There's no much wisdom in that, right? No. No chance. At least there should not be enough for us. You know, we all going to miss the opportunity. You had the time to prepare. But not, we can't give. But go, rather, to those who sell and buy for yourselves. By the way, it will be a fake oil. It will be not good oil either. At that time, the Holy Spirit is not going to be around anymore. So they won't be able to. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they missed. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Meaning, no more salvation for anyone. There are some people, some churches, who is teaching universalism. Have you heard this expression before, universalism? Do you know what universalism is? It's an evil doctrine. Evil, diabolical, satanic. Is that clear? It is a diabolical belief, a false sense of security, to tell everybody, says, no matter how bad you are, God is so good that He's going to save everybody. There is no accountability. It's just like a probably sign California under or something like that. No accountability. It says you can do whatever you want and you're still going to be saved. Because God is so gracious that He's going to save everybody. If you read the Bible says clearly, those that are faithful to the end will be saved. You need to be faithful. You need to choose salvation. God cannot force you to the kingdom because He gave you the power to choose. You have to choose Him. Afterward, the other virgins, now they are referred to as the other. The other virgins came also saying, oh, we are a good church. We do all those things. Read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. He says, Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but those who does my Father's will. Oh, but Lord, we have performed miracles. We have a mega church. We have a television ministry that reached the whole world. And we do things like this. We heal people, and the people are healed right there. We have cast out demons. Please read the words of Jesus Christ, his own word. And look what he says in verse 23. Away from me, I have no idea who you are. I do not know you because you practice lawlessness. Foolishness. That's all it is. It is a foolishness when you go to church all your life, but never go to Christ. It's foolishness when you join a denomination, but does not belong to Christ. It's foolishness when you hold the Bible in your hand, but never read so that the Bible can go to your heart. It's foolishness when you know that you're doing wrong and you insist to justify what you're doing wrong. It is foolishness to have the light and choose to live in darkness. It's foolishness when you know what is right and you choose to be wrong. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Same expression in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. I have no idea who you are. I do not know you. And you know what to know means in the Bible, right? Anybody knows? In the Bible, when it says to know, it means to be one with. It's the same expression to use marriage, is to become one. When Jesus Christ says, I do not know you, he says, you are not my bride. You're not that virgin and wise one that came in. You don't have enough oil. You are a fool. I do not know you. I think it's one of the worst things that any human being will hear is when they will hear from the lips of Jesus Christ, I have no idea who you are. In this picture, you see 10 virgins. Two groups, those that want more oil and those that think that a little is enough. Brothers and sisters, don't have a little faith. Don't have a little religion. Don't have a little time with Christ. Little can put you in trouble. Because if you get used to be little, belittle you be. So always be ready. What? Always be ready. And when is time to get ready? It's all the time. All the time. Because you don't know the day of the hour the Son of Man will come. And why Jesus mentioned the Son of Man? Because he says, the one that became like you to save you. That's why he's used the human one, the one who took our humanity. He is coming. He is coming. So always be ready. That's what he says. Jesus Christ is coming. We need oil. We need the light. The mind of the wise tends towards the right, but the mind of the fool turns towards the left. And I'm not talking about politician, okay? Politics. I'm just reading the Bible. Okay? When I read this, it came to my mind the event on the cross. There was two individuals beside Jesus Christ. The light was right between them. One was a fool, and one became wise. Both of them were fools, but as they came close to the light, one decided to be wise. And he said to Jesus Christ, would you remember me when you come in your kingdom? And Jesus said to him, truly, I say this to you today, is a sure thing. You will be with me in paradise. But the other one, he starts saying, why don't you get down from the cross and save yourself and save us too? One was asking Jesus to come down. Another one was asking Jesus, take me up. And that made a difference. The wise want to go up. The fool wants to go down. And not only he wants to come down, but he wants to bring the Savior down too with him. Brothers and sisters, do you know why I like the right? Because it's good to feel right. It's good to go to bed and have a clear conscience. There's nothing better to help you to sleep than a clear conscience. Nothing. If you dealt with people with decency, if you deal with God with an open heart, very, very close to God, when you go to bed, you don't have a problem falling asleep. Because, like the young girl said, I know I'm going to wake up. I know. This is the New Living Translation, says like this. A wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong one. And that's why they are fools. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 2. That's a common English Bible version. Knowledge begins with respect for the Lord. Some of your versions says, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. God does not want us to fear Him. Okay? That's why I prefer this version. Knowledge begins with the respect for the Lord. Respect means you embrace God's will. You have no problem with His will. But fools hate wisdom and discipline. They don't want rules. I know I'm going to get in trouble for what I'm about to say here. But I can't control myself. I'm going to say anyway. Do you know why people like to call themselves liberals? Do you know what the word liberal literally means? A person who wants to get away with not obeying any rules, get away from restrictions. Liberal means I don't want rules. I want anarchy to be in control of everything. Have you seen anarchy lately? Have you seen how many people are working so hard to establish anarchy in this country and around the world? Brothers and sisters, I don't care what kind of politics you have, because that's not my role as a pastor to talk about politics. But please, common sense, it tells us every society needs order. If you don't think so, go to the fellowship hall. Don't go, because nobody's supposed to be there. The police is coming. You see what is happening to anarchy. Everybody's becoming a victim. You decide to go to a mall. Right now, before you go to a mall, you may ask yourself, would there be some messed up kids that are tired to shoot something in a computer, but now decide to shoot real people? The good people are living in panic because the bad people have no consequence for what they do. Fools hate wisdom because wisdom, do you know what a message I'm sent to you when I put the color, I capitalize the word wisdom and I put the same color as God, because the Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God. Wisdom is God. But fools hate God and hate discipline. The word discipline doesn't mean punishment. The word discipline means teaching. Okay, learning. Fools hurt learning and they hurt, fools hate learning and they hate those that teach them good things as well. Proverbs 1 verse 7. We have seen people, even teachers, being attacked, being killed, shot, even by kids now. Kids of very young age bringing guns to school and shooting teachers. Oh, I didn't like because he took my cell phone away. Oh, I didn't like because he took my... It's fools say to themselves, there is no God. Why do you think a fool says there is no God? Remember, God is wisdom. So the fool is justifiable for not liking God because they don't have God, they don't have wisdom, so there is no God. So they feel comfortable being continued to be fools. Fools are evil and do terrible things. There is no one who does anything good. Psalm 14, verse 1. The way to become wise is how? Is to honor the Lord. He gives sound judgment to all who obey His commands. He is to be praised for how long? Forever. Brothers and sisters, I'll invite you to become a forever kind of a people. You didn't come here to be here just for a little while. You came here, you are the forever people. And you know how we can be forever? Only if we embrace God's holiness. This is a good news translation. Psalm 111, verse 1. Don't copy. And I want you, this is a closing our message already. I want you to copy this verse. And I put this version here. But please think about this. Because this verse here that I found is so much about what is happening today around the world, especially the United States. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Just because Caesar tells you that it's legal, it doesn't mean that it's good. It doesn't mean that it's right. If Caesar is your God, then you are doomed. Because God tells us exactly how we should behave and what custom should we have. Any custom that goes against God's law, it is not but sin. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I don't know how many of you here remember Apple used to have a logo that says, think different, something like that, right? Do you know what the word think different, I mean the sentence think different means? Literally, biblically speaking, is repent. Basically, when the Bible says repent, it says you have to change your thinking. Because your thinking is taking you in a destructive path, you have to turn around and think different. Think the way God wants you to think. It says here, change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What a beautiful statement. Paul said this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, New Living Translation. I would like to repeat, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Just because everybody else is doing, it doesn't mean that it's right. Now they are talking about so many things in this life that is shocking every aspect of our beliefs. The world will say something bad over and over and over and over again. Until the good people start repeating and talk just like them. Be careful, brothers and sisters. We didn't come here to this world to be like the world. We came here, the Lord wants us to help to change the world. But how the world will be changed if the sons and daughters of light turn into darkness? If the ones who chose to be wise act foolish in foolishness. We are not to be fools. We are to be wise. May the Lord grant you the wisdom to make right choices in this life. And wake up. He is coming. And He will lead us. So He leads me. Let's sing together.